for sure, on the west end. And so I know some of those, like Sean was there, the gal from the company, maybe two people from the company.
I'm sorry?
So Samantha said it was still a very productive meeting, and the company doesn't know where, but now Sean is like, we want you to come to our facilities, you know, when will you be, this building will have it eventually, like when we get out to 45 and 50,
maybe 1 minute later.
Everywhere else, so.
I want to ask him.
Do we?
I see you on your.
Where's Terry?
I think it's always.
Terry can want to have this meeting until.
I love to have like.
Yeah, like public works for 2 years.
I'd be doing it
for 4 years. Longer than that.
All I do is go back all the way to college. And if there's anybody from.
Amanda, how are you?
Seeing you again.
I'm good. How
you look
are you?
Festive. You look Christmassy. I like it.
That looks good. Are you going to wear it? Are you going to the Christmas party?
I'm just trying.
Okay, are you going to wear an ugly Christmas sweater?
I'm like, Gabe, what? I'm like, Gabe, what's the attire?
I don't know. I'm like, come on, just pick something. Can we do a Christmas sweater?
But, am I supposed to, can I wear jeans? Can I wear. Am I supposed to dress up? What?
She's in
the gave no directions whatsoever. Yeah.
You
get a little buffer. Well, they don't stop at 7. They just start.
Terry, how are you?
No, I have a Christmas food. It's a string of things, you know, the light bulb.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it has a couple of items. I don't know if it still lights up because it's how many years old. But it's obnoxious when you have, like, the lights flashing.
That was good.
I had a really awesome, ugly Christmas sweater when I bought, like, probably 2 or 3 years ago. And I think I wore it to the bar or something. And it got so hot, I took it off, and I never saw it.
Oh.
I know I wore it somewhere and took it off because it got hot, and I just never saw it again.
I'll leave it out in the middle.
I have my phone, so I'm good. Thank you, though. No, I got my phone.
That's it. It's 6:02. We call the meeting to order. And let's see. On a roll call, everybody's here, including the union government, with Supervisor Nordigan. Excuse.
Is it a different meeting?
Okay. The first item, if I don't have anybody against it, I would like to move the order of the agenda. Does anyone has got any objections?
Mm-mm.
Okay, seeing no objections, then we're going to move and we start with item number, I believe it's number 7. Mm-hmm. Correct, Joel? I know we missed objections. Item 7. Okay, that is discussion of communication from Supervisor Uwas. As everybody's aware, all the board members, we received a letter from Supervisor Uwas. And basically she was stating some of her concerns. And at least all the supervisors are aware that we can only talk to so many. We have a limit on how many supervisors we can talk to without breaking the quorum rules. For that reason, I did put this on the agenda so we could discuss to see where we stood. I'm not going to really discuss anything. I just want to bring one thing up for the supervisor that they know it's on page 2. And I want to say thank you to Supervisor Uwas for the compliment, because I did take it as a compliment, that you put it in the letter that in the past, I was an integral part of past budget bonding negotiations for multiple budgets with the former county executive, and I hope he will continue to use his talent in finding a solution. In the past, concessions were made to keep county government and projects running without interruption. For that, again, I took it as a compliment, and I want to thank you on that.
You're welcome.
I'm not going to discuss anything on the letter anymore, and everybody will know the reason why when we go to the next item, which the next item we're going to discuss is the discussion of 2023 budget and bonding. Just a quick reference on how the bonding process works. The county executive works the budget. She will send it to the county board. She presents it to the county board. In return, we send them to all the different committees, which they meet with the departments. They go through the budget, and either they approve it, they make suggestions, and that will be just suggestions to the finance department. Again, the finance department will vet that, and either takes it with the suggestion made by the committees, or make amendments, and will send it to the full county board, at which time the full county board will vote. We need a simple majority to pass the budget, and we need 18 votes to pass the bonding. Just about every year, there's always something that we discuss it or whatever. Not everybody's up to it. So this year, the budget passed. I believe the vote was 17-6 on the budget. And then we had the bonding, which was resulting 17-6, where we were one vote short of passing it. Well, since it did not pass, we had to start negotiation, and basically that's what we did. So by doing that, we started, and of course everybody starts from the high point and then trying to meet somewhere in the middle. That was when the letter came in. I think it was pretty much to tell us, without breaking any rules, on what they were looking at. We had discussions. Direct discussion with Supervisor U.S., almost quite a few discussions anyway, and going back and forth. Sometimes we had to go to the media just to put our views outside so we could get at least some response and have a feeling on what anybody wanted from the public and the county board itself. After all these negotiations, and this were coming towards the end that we had to do it, we had last Tuesday night, what I can probably call like a marathon meeting, which lasts about 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Not too many times we got mad at each other, just a few. Mm-hmm. But anyway, at the end, we were able to come up with what we believe it's a good compromise for everybody around. Since day one, I mean, I always felt confident that at the end we'd come up was something that would be feasible and good for all the citizens in Kenosha County. And because I knew the goal of everybody was to get to the point where whatever we decided would be the best for Kenosha County. The only problem that we had is how to get there, which way to take until we got there. On Tuesday, we came out with, I would say, an agreement in principle between, you know, that we thought it would be okay for everybody, subject to board approval. So, we're doing now, first of all, I wanna say thank you to everyone involved. I know all the departments, all the workers, Kenosha County workers, we appreciate it, the public, all the supervisors. I'm very proud to work with a super group like you guys. Everybody put in time, everybody put in an effort, and hopefully we come out to a good, solid budget. I can really say that this is the best budget I was ever involved in. And we're gonna go through some of it tonight. Hopefully the board will get together, will approve this unanimously. One of the things that I wanna do, and we'll talk in a minute also, about when we're gonna present it to the board. My goal is to get everything done, and also when I say mine and Supervisor U.S. agreed, and hopefully all you guys agree, to get everything done and put it behind us before Christmas. So we're gonna try to set a date for next week to go through it. What we have, and we do have some, we have the a proposal that we're gonna send it to the full to finance and the full board for approval, which is gonna be co-sponsored by myself and Supervisor U.S. So we can show that work together on this, and with the help of everybody involved, we can put it to rest. What we came up with is the position for extension, UW extension, whatever the position it's called, sorry about that, that will be reinstated. Then it was passed in the previous, it did pass through the previous budget, the one position I've been calling the position that Glenn Fenske was in. We talked to him and he got a really super retirement deal. And the other position, which that was combined with this one, it was done like an E7 classification. We did move that to an E8 classification. We do have the funding set, and finance has worked hard on it. Thank you, Patty. And we, you know, it's not going to change the levy, which, by the way, I think everybody probably looked at their new tax bill, which did go down from last year. We're going to be voting on the bonding also. We had three resolutions before. Two resolutions, we did not take any action, so we can bring them in the same way that they were. The first resolution that was defeated by 17-6 is going to have some changes. So we're adding $100,000 to the resolution and the bonding, which we're going to be using that to replace a generator over by the Kenosha County Center there on Highway 50 and 45. That's very important. That was in need of repairs. It got worse. And basically, the generator, I got to look at my notes, because when you get older, you tend to forget stuff, is pretty much the brain of all the towers that transmit the sheriff and county fire department radio communication. If for any reason we lose power, we are really in trouble, okay? There is some arrangements being made or already made or being the process of being made that just in case an emergency comes up where the generator fails, We Energies will not replace it. We'll land one just for a few days, whatever it takes to be for the thing to be replaced. So it's major thing that we're going to do it. So we're doing that and increasing the bonding from 16.155, I believe, Patrick, up to 16.255. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much the changes that we're proposing. If anybody's got any questions, any comments, please do it now. Anyone? Supervisor U.S.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to let everyone know here tonight that Chairman Nuto and I were in discussions multiple times, and on Tuesday night we did have a 2.5-hour meeting, and there was a lot of conversation back and forth. And when I left that meeting, I left with knowing that we listened to each other, we respected each other's opinions, and we were able to come to a good compromise that lets Kenosha County function, the employees get to, the UW extension is still in place. Frank's job went from an E7 to an E8. If he chooses to take it and stay in that position, great. If not, that could also help us attract better talent because the pay rate is a little bit higher on that. And I do thank the chairman for having the conversation and coming to a compromise. Both sides gave on this. It was give and take on both of our parts, and we put Kenosha County ahead of any agendas. So that's why we're here tonight. So thank you, Chairman Nuto, for your leadership and for getting us to this point.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any other supervisor? Any comments? Supervisor Gerst.
Mr. Chairman, this is wonderful news. And Supervisor Juhas, wonderful news. Thank you so much. I don't know if you have time to get the documents together so that we can go down and sign on to them. But based on what I heard tonight, I certainly could support this compromise in order to move the county ahead. I heard the idea that we put the county first above everything else, and I love to see the county board doing that. So what I heard the terms it would be moving the one position from a 7 to an 8. The retirement package already has been approved by Finance Committee, so that's done, doesn't need to come back to the board. We approve the 40,000 UW extension piece, and then we bring the three bonding resolutions with the one small change to the primary bonding resolution of the 100,000 for the generator, and that I can support that. I'm only one supervisor, but thank you for your hard work, and I know a lot more than 2.5 hours went into this, but it's wonderful news. Thank you so much. And I also am able to attend the meeting on Monday, if I heard that right, that we're looking at trying to bring that in on Monday. So.
Yes, and since you mentioned that, thank you, Supervisor Gersten. We're trying to set a meeting for the board for Monday night at 5 o'clock, and I had a response by 22 out of the 23 supervisors. It's pretty important. We try to come up with different dates or whatever, but there is always something. You know, Tuesday, one of the supervisors, unfortunately, has got a family problem. He's going to be out of town. And on Wednesday, another two supervisors are not going to be there. And again, we want to put it, because just remember, let's use it. Hopefully, we'll pass this year. And we can give this like a Christmas present to little Joe so his father can buy his baseball bat and he can play baseball. I talked to Chairman Rose, the finance chairman, about, because he's got to go to finance. And I believe he got a little bit of a conflict, but I'll let him speak on it at the time that you commit with your committee prior to the board that we need to. We're trying to find some other ways to do it.
Sure. The time that I'm available is between 12 and 1.
On Monday?
Yes. Is that okay?
I think so.
I believe we have quite a few people from the finance.
Yeah. Okay.
Supervisor Gersten is okay. Who else is on finance? I believe.
What is the proposition for finance between 12 and 1 on Monday?
Yes.
I'm available.
Okay.
Okay. So would that be okay to do it at that time? For everybody, 10.
All right.
Yeah. I think
four,
we got
that's
a forum.
Four, so
we got a forum, and I believe the Supervisor Beshaw, you're on finance, right?
I am.
Yes.
So are you going to be available?
I've already given up my vacation day, so.
Wow, what a great guy! Thank you, Supervisor Beshaw. So then, what we're going to do is we'll do the
sure. 1 at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, okay?
Yeah.
It should not take too long.
No.
And the only thing is going to be in there, and maybe since you're doing that, we can take out another small resolution in there about giving some kind of a vacation. Well, it's not a vacation, but to the new sheriff. That should only take a few minutes. So, and we'll do it. And then Monday night, I believe, again, I had a response from 22 supervisors. 21 say they can make it, and one is going to be unable to make it.
Yeah.
But we should be okay, and hopefully we can put anything. I'm not really sure. I was talking to Perry, but she might not be able to be here on Monday, or can you make it to the 5 o'clock?
I can make that.
To make the 5 o'clock. So, but since we're talking about all this, if anybody's got any questions now for finance, feel free to ask Perry now. Supervisor Nedweski.
In your explanation, you said that the funding was secured for the E8 level and the restoration of the extension position.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
Well, for the E8, correct me if I'm wrong, and then you can, for the E8, it's already in there because we have $141,000 some dollars when the position was an E7, which that's enough to cover that.
Okay.
So we don't have to worry on that. The only one is the 44.9 for the UW extension, and I will have any answer on that.
As was discussed several times throughout the budget, when the budget was put together, the local transportation needs figure had not been received from the state. And by the time we got to budget adoption, we had found out that we were getting about $450,000 more than we had anticipated.
Okay.
So some of that funding was used for that merged position, that blended position. $141,000 he was talking about, but the 44.9 is being funded by those funds.
Any other questions? Anything else? We do have a resolution prepared both for the budget modification and also for the first resolution in there, and which I did not send that out because Corporation Council is reviewing, you know, just making the final touches. Actually, when we came in, they told me everything looks good. Am I correct, Joe? Okay, so which will be sent to everybody ahead of time probably tomorrow. So everyone will have it in there, but it's
When you say first resolution, is that the bonding you're speaking
the
of?
The bonding
okay,
resolution.
Okay, thank you.
Which basically is changed from the 16.155, I believe, to 16.255. That's the only thing that it's changed. And the other two resolutions for the bonding will come back in the same way that they were done before, because we did not act on that. We did not have to make any changes. Any question, anybody? Supervisor Basha.
Yes, Supervisor Gersten had indicated the ability to sign on to that resolution if our legal counsel has it prepared tonight. Could it be made available downstairs or upstairs to do so, or is that a possibility?
I'll defer that to Corporation Council. I don't believe we can do it tonight, but again, it's you know, it's up to him. And if anybody want to be added as a co-sponsor, am I correct? That's what you're saying. And if anybody wants to be added as a co-sponsor, maybe they can even give us a call, and that could be added. Or
after this meeting, I'll discuss with Joe, make sure that the resolution is okay, and then I can finalize it. I could get it downstairs to Reggie first thing tomorrow morning. It would be available tomorrow for anyone to sign on.
To sign on as a, does that answer your question?
That would be acceptable. I think probably a significant number of us are supportive of going forward as a joint board, supporting our highway department and our community and making sure the county is well taken care of. So thank you.
That would be good, and that will show, and I think this was, very well discussed. I want to say thank you to everybody. And if anything, I think we learned that we work together, anything can be accomplished. And I want to congratulate every single one of you. And I'm out of words to say how proud I am to work with this board. Anything else? Okay, so we're set on that. What are we gonna do next? Okay, now we go to let's go to citizen comments. Any citizen wish to speak? Any citizen wish to speak?
I guess I'll say something. This week, I work for the Highway Department.
Please state your name and address.
Josh Kobylski, 5322 46th Ave, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I work for the Highway Department. We had several supervisors come down this week to discuss with us what's going on, kind of explaining their sides of what was happening, trying to put us at ease a little bit. I just want to say thank you for that. I think I'm speaking for several of my coworkers when I say that. Thanks for taking the time and coming down there, and I'm happy that this got hopefully resolved. And hopefully we don't have to do this again. But I just want to say thanks to the supervisors that showed up.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Any other citizen comments?
William Fink, 3923 Harding Road. I also work for the Highway Department. I want to thank both parties, everyone that put in, yourself. Thank you for making it happen. We can't thank you enough to get this resolved in a timely manner. I thought it worked, went very, very good. Both discussions, both were here, there, and I gotta say, you guys did it with good. I can't thank you enough. And going forward, your roads will be safe, and we'll do our job if you guys continue to do your job. So thank you and Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. We appreciate your work. Any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments?
Hi, I'm Barbara Griffin, 2007 81st Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I want to thank the county board for giving Kenosha some hope with adding some police force, a sheriff's department that is well deserved and well needed, and also our county roads, which are very important. Number one function of the government for we the people is our safety, be it through the policing and through our roads. So thank you, and thank you for also being concerned of the finances, because we are taxed enough. So thank you for being concerned for fiscally also. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other citizen comments?
I do. Dave Zerner, 11203 43rd Avenue. Remember, it's good. I just want to say thank you to everybody for getting this done. But the two gentlemen here that came from the roads, thank you so much for what you do. That's my 24 years here. You know how many times I've been on the road sliding around. Thanks for what you do. We appreciate that you showed up tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments? Hearing none, citizen comments are closed. Okay, communications. Our chair. Well, at this point, I just want to say one more time, thank you for everything. And Merry Christmas to everyone. Supervisor comments. Any supervisor wish to comment? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Just wanted to say that I will be reaching out to the chair of the Racial Equity Commission. I'm concerned that due to a lack of quorum, the commission was unable to meet tonight. It's not something we see often in any of our commissions or committees. So to me, it did cause alarm. So I just wanted to alert you all to that. That's all.
Any other supervisor comments? Any other supervisor comments? Any other supervisor comments? Supervisor comments are closed. Communication. I just want to say something. Good thing I remembered. I know last month we said that we're going to give you guys a report on the after incident report. I just want to say we had a meeting. It was myself, Supervisor Gersten, which really he took the lead on all this till now. So even though I'm going to talk a little bit about it, I don't want to take the credit away from him. It's all his. The Corporation Council was there, and the county executive was there. We did receive a proposal. We went through that. It looks good, basically everything we talked about it. It came out of just a little bit less than what we had projected, what they told us it was going to be. And Dave, please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was 147.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and we were thinking about 150 to 160.
We budgeted, yeah.
Okay. So everything looked good. We had a little discussion, but everything looked good. So what we did now is we directed Corporation Council to work with them on the legality of a contract, you know, to make everything legal. And hopefully by the middle to the end of January?
Well, we get the contract done, and then hopefully they'll work through it, and hopefully May we'll have a preliminary report.
But at that time when we get the contract, the legal part done, we'll send a copy to all the committee members. So you'll be aware of what it is, but pretty much it's what we're talking about. Okay, any approval of minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Decker. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Okay, next one. Remarks from Josh Nielsen, Director of Joint Services.
Mr. Chairman, before that, can we do something about the noise? I can't hear.
We can't close the door.
I think, I believe they're done. Yeah, okay.
Door has to stay open.
We can leave it open now because there is no noise. Okay. So we're just, okay. Thank you.
Good evening. Chairman Nuno asked me to come to say some remarks to the committee regarding an investigation that was conducted regarding allegations that were brought forward on the conduct of some employees with joint services. I can, in this forum, there's, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we did, what the process was, and where we're at today. Joint Services conducted an internal investigation into the allegations to determine if there was any misconduct. We were able to determine that there was misconduct on the behalf of two employees. Throughout the investigation, we worked with legal counsel to make sure that the steps we were taking were appropriate. We contacted, we ended up contacting law enforcement to assist in gathering some information, and then ultimately turning some of the information over to law enforcement for through Walworth County for an investigation for potential criminal activity. We concluded our internal investigation and took disciplinary action against two individuals. Law enforcement investigation continued, and we were notified last week that there are no criminal charges coming forward. We're still waiting for some additional information from them on that closeout. What we're doing and what we've been doing is trying to put quite a few procedures in place to address some of the shortcomings that had come up that where some of these allegations came from. The majority of the allegations were 5 to 15 years old, that these things had taken place during that time frame. There were a few things that had come up a little bit shorter time, but the most current allegation dealt with something that occurred about 2 years ago. So everything everything occurred several years ago or longer. My concern going forward is that there were gaps in procedures within Joint Services that would allow for some of these things to occur. And going forward, we've got procedures in place to address those things to ensure that those things are not happening anymore. Every step of the way, we talked with our internal, our outside counsel for employment law to make sure what we were doing was appropriate. A full report was given to the Joint Services Board, that's where things stand today. So that's what I can talk about at this point.
Okay, does any of the supervisors have any questions for Director Wright?
Yes.
Nielsen. And I just want to say one thing, that is some of that might be a question where it's not allowed to answer. Please respect if he claims, I was going to say attorney privilege, but probably not. But in other words, if it's the attorney legal counsel told him not to answer the question, please respect that answer. Supervisor Rodriguez.
I have a couple questions that I think you may say you can't answer, and I hope that we don't come to that point, because I think we all know in this room that it's going to be public record eventually. Any public employee's personnel file is open to disclosure, that there's a process, of course. The investigation done by Walworth County eventually will be open as well, like any other investigation. You say misconduct. What was the misconduct that was alleged?
There was alleged that there were Menards rebates that were submitted to through purchases joint services that that were used for non-joint services purchases, and there was allegations of scrap metal that were taken to recycling and then the money not returned to joint services.
And what did either your investigation find or Walworth County's investigation?
I cannot speak to Walworth County, but I can, without going into too much specifics, I can tell you that there were some corroboration of some of those things that had occurred.
So there was only two things, though, that you listed. Did they both happen at some occasion in whether it was, you said the most recent one was 2 years ago, dating back to 15 years ago. Did both of those at some point occur?
Yes.
Okay. And was that on behalf of both of the two employees that were under investigation, were both found to have done those two things? Or was one doing one, the other was doing the other?
There was one of them was one thing, the other one was both things. The money was, the allegation was that the money wasn't returned. Regarding the scrap metal, but there were procedures that were not followed through that part of it. This is difficult because I can't go into too much specifics, but there were we did find that there were on two of those things that one of the employees may have was involved in one thing and the other employee was involved in both things.
Okay. What did the discipline look like?
Again, being in this environment, I can't get into the employee personnel, the specific personnel issues, but there were significant appropriate discipline taken.
Okay. So I'll just say what I know. If anything I know is incorrect, please correct me, because I don't want to spread things that aren't true. What I believe to have happened, as for discipline, was at some point these one or both of the employees were on administrative leave. Now, if that was with pay or without pay, I don't know. But they were on administrative leave while your investigation took place. Your investigation finished. They were later returned to work. Is that much correct? Both employees.
That is correct, but the disciplinary action did take place as well.
Okay. And while they were returned to work, were they still under active criminal investigation from the Walworth County Sheriff's Department?
The investigation at that point was still open.
Okay. And who made the call to allow those two employees back to work with an open criminal investigation?
So in conjunction with our legal counsel, I made that.
So it was ultimately your decision?
Yeah.
And you approved it. Okay. Everybody's presumed innocent, right? That's a very important notion that this nation was founded on. However, I think there's optics. I know there's optics. And I can only speak for the citizens of my district. I can't speak for the other 22 districts. But there's cause for concern. On my own part, my constituents' part, where there are employees that are under criminal investigation that are being allowed to work. Some of those concerns are that they could be destroying further evidence, that they could be potentially sabotaging the organization that they're working for. Again, these things may not have happened. I hope they did not happen. And now we know that there were no criminal charges that are going to be referred to the Walworth County District Attorney's Office. But that's concerning. Is that something that you think will be common practice for joint services moving forward? I'll let you answer that first.
I think it's going to be very specific. That's very dependent upon the circumstances. All of those things were considered that you brought up before that decision was made and was talked through with our counsel before the decision was made to bring the person back. Our determination was that given the specifics of everything, that those risks were not there, that they would be able to impact those the organization in that way. So that all played a role in that decision. So it would be I don't want to make a blanket statement one way or the other. It really would be dependent on what the specific circumstances are. I think given to your point of the optics, I think that would play a role as well going forward.
Did it play a role in this instance?
It did.
Okay. And what was the conversation like in that regard? I mean, if it did play a role in this instance, to me, in my head, that means that whoever those decision makers were sitting around a table like we are, or maybe it was through email, et cetera. But, okay, the public might not have faith in this because we have two employees under criminal investigation. We're going to return them to work anyways. and kind of keep the public in the dark of, well, we finished ours, we're waiting for, I mean, did that discussion come up? Was there discussion about maybe issuing some sort of statement to the public saying more without saying everything?
So there was discussions about all of that. The part of the concern was the length of time. So another thing that plays a role in this is the length of time. How long will it take to get that information back and those things? And so yes, there were discussions on that.
Were there discussions with you and your team and the Walworth County Sheriff's Department? Was it, we're not done with our investigation, but sir, we think we might be done in the next week. If you wanted to send your employees back, we don't think that would be an issue. Without telling you, hey, there's no criminal charges coming, but maybe hinting at that.
There was some discussion with them, but there really was no information that came from them. They were not really providing us with much information along those lines.
Okay. Before I move on to my next thing, I just want to again say, perception is everything, and trust is everything. And if our citizens that we serve don't trust us or don't trust joint services or whatever it is, it's hard to regain that trust once it's gone. And I hope that that trust is not gone now for some citizens. So I'll leave that at that. You mentioned safeguards. What safeguards are in place now that weren't in place that allowed this to happen for 15 years?
So we put procedures in place specifically with the receipting of dealing with the receipts and how those things are handled, so that is all done through our finance area now. And we put in place, we have a temporary procedure in place for scrap metal to make sure that it's handled appropriately. Right now it's going to the city recycling center. So there's a process for that to get handled appropriately versus some of the things that had happened in the past. Multiple different things that had happened in the past and how that scrap metal was handled, as it was difficult at times to find places to, or companies to come and pick it up and those kinds of things. So we now have something in place to deal with those things. And then when we're dealing with larger amounts, we have a couple of companies that will come in and put in rollout containers that we can fill up and do with that, so that our staff is not trying to deal with this stuff on a basis to try to find a place to take it. So in that regard, we've got several procedures in place to not deal with those issues.
So currently, the temporary procedure is an employee is going to take the scrap metal to the city recycling? Are they coming to pick it up?
No, there's a couple of employees will be taking it to city recycling.
And then you're saying in the future, all the time we're going to have a roll-off, or if there's an instance where we know there's going to be a lot of scrap coming?
So we're looking for someone that can put something permanently at our facility. Part of the problem is there's some logistics to all of that and sizes of bins and things like that. But we have a couple of leads on trying to get that put in place permanently, but yeah, temporarily we're going to have a procedure in place now where a couple of people will take those things to the city recycling.
And is that stuff logged in any way? We know what is supposed to be taken to the city. When it gets to the city, this is what was actually arrived at the city. Is that logged?
I don't believe it's logged at the city, but there's most of what we're dealing with is small pieces mm-hmm. of stuff. I don't have a procedure for logging what gets there, and the city doesn't document what comes in there, nor does the companies that drop off the equipment, the roll-off bins. But having several employees in there watching what's going on and then documenting things on our end, I believe we'll resolve the issue.
Okay. My concern, though, with the last sentence there is having employees knowing what's going on. I would imagine that over the course of 15 years, employees saw these two employees or one of the two taking the stuff home. It went 15 years. So to me, that's not a safeguard that's good enough, because it can still happen. I think there needs to be a system either where it's disposed of on site and you have a contractor, and I know you said you're working on that, but in the interim, to me, there should be something that says, this is what we took to the city, this is what arrived at the city, to make sure that in transportation, nothing happened to it. And it might sound menial, it might not sound like anything, but that's a concern. And again, it's all about perception. We've identified these issues. What are we doing to mediate those issues? So that's just my suggestion to you, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Ross.
What was the monetary loss, if any, to joint services?
I don't have a specific monetary loss. Now, the majority of the when scrap was picked up were small dollar amounts. But that was part of the issue. There was no tracking of these things. One of the issues we have right now is with taking it to the city recycling center, there's no monetary return on that.
I'm talking about these two employees. What was their conduct resulted in what loss to joint services? Do you know?
So for the on the trying to get into that too much specifics. The dollar amounts on some of the other issues were in the neighborhood of, it was all less than $100 in total.
So the total amount of this whole thing was less than $100?
For the receipts that were.
I'm talking about the whole thing. I just want a straight answer. What is the monetary loss of what you investigated and what these employees were disciplined for? Now, we should know that. What is the monetary loss?
I don't have a dollar.
You don't know?
I do not have a
dollar. Why not?
The scrap metal.
I'm not talking about the scrap metal. I'm talking about the whole thing. What? I mean, a lot was made of this in the newspaper, elsewhere, discussion. You're telling me this is penny-ante stuff?
The dollar amounts for the receipting was under $100.
And that's the total loss for all of the misconduct.
Again, on the scrap metal, I don't have a dollar amount. There was no tracking of any of that, so I have no way to know. Again, it goes back at least 15 years. Some of it may go back further.
Well, that sounds like the statute of limitations ran. That's why the investigation resulted in no criminal charges, because the statute of limitations ran, not because there was no criminal misconduct.
I do not know that at this point.
Yeah, that's all.
Anybody else? Let's see if anybody wants to go first. Supervisor Deck.
When you speak of scrap metal items, what are you speaking of?
We're talking about rotors. We're talking about from brakes. We're talking about small metal parts that came off of a car somewhere. Where if it's anything that is of value, then it goes back to the county or to the city. And then they make a determination on what they do with it. If it goes to auction, or if it goes somewhere along those lines, or if it's sold outright or whatever. But and that goes then through the city and the county's processes. We're talking about stuff that would otherwise go in the garbage that is not allowed to go in the garbage.
So were this employee or employees, were they taking these rotors and selling them to scrap metal guys, or were they selling them as used parts to other people? Do you know?
No, they were taking them to a recycling center.
So they were, okay, so they were getting money for recycling.
Or they had a company pick it up.
Okay, just scrap metal guys. And do we get, we as in the city, joint services /city/ county, do we recycle those so we get reimbursed? Because I know rotors weigh a lot, and you guys go through a lot of rotors, and that adds up.
So, we are right now we're taking this because we'll get a small amount, and then we'll take it over to the city recycling, so we're not getting anything out of that with what we put in place this year. When we have the bin on site and when we have a large amount of stuff, then the money would come, the money's coming back to joint services. So we did have this year one instance of that where we were able to fill up a bin that was scrap metal that had been stacked up for several years. And that was, I think the total on there was $600 for that. And it was a very, very large bin that was filled up.
That seems very low. Just stating, as someone that owns an automotive repair shop that sells rotors as scrap metal, that seems very low.
And that was a company that would come on site, put a bin on site for us to put. So, and again, we're still trying to explore to find somebody that will come on with something that will fit within our facility that we can use. And I don't know what the dollar amounts will be on that, so we'll have to find that out. But we've been really struggling to find somebody that has a there's companies out there with huge bins that'll come in and put them on site. We just don't have the space for it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other supervisor?
Yeah, I just have one question. So what was the policy prior to the policy now in regards to the scrap metal?
There was no policy.
Okay, so my mind wanders. The employees might have thought it was okay then, since there was not a policy in place. Was there an unspoken policy?
There was no policy on it. They were in some cases bringing taking the stuff out of the garbage to take it to recycling, and then bringing some money back to there were times that things were purchased for fleet maintenance. There were times that they would do cookouts. There were times that they would do other things with that money. But there was no policy in place for any of it. And that was part of the issue that we ran into.
Understand.
Anything else? Any other supervisor didn't speak? Supervisor Basham.
Director Nielsen.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. I have questions. First, I want to play some math. If you took 30 squads, replaced rotors on 30 squads on an annualized basis, and a rotor weighs 20 pounds, that's 2,400 pounds of steel. That's more than a couple dollars in recycling. That's a significant amount of scrap that's taken in. So I have trouble with your statement.
I don't know what the dollar amounts were for to what much it gets.
I don't know. Second was Supervisor Thomas's question about prior policy. I would think it's common knowledge any employee would understand if you take something from your employer, it's called theft.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a policy to make that clear. That's my disconnect. Where is the requirement of a policy in that?
The findings of the investigation weren't that the employees were taking the scrap for themselves. The findings were that they were taking the scrap, they were bringing the money back, and then they were using it for things within joint services, or they were having somebody else come in and pick up the scrap. They were at times having junk people that were driving through the area pick stuff up to try to get rid of it.
So they didn't have a monetary gain in that
Correct. Scenario
is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, so there, I understand there may be a policy disconnect that says the county is not using its best judgment to maximize its resources and make sure we get a return on that investment.
Correct. And so then it wasn't being tracked, right? So in some cases the money was coming back and it was being just sent out, but it wasn't being tracked within joint services.
Back and sent out, what do you mean by?
It would come, they would bring the money back, and then they would buy, plasma cutter that was purchased at one point. There was
But it was for the benefit of FBO, for the county.
They were doing this for the benefit of the employees or whoever. They would do cookout, and some of this, like I said, some of this goes back 15 years that they were doing some of this. And then there were other times, like I said, where they would have somebody come in and pick up the scrap to get rid of it. It was just trying to get rid of it.
And the last part is kind of an observation. Supervisor Gearson and I attended a session at the WCA that was focused around this. I'll use the extreme. When a plane crashes, the first reaction is to create a lot of new policies. And it's not the policies that were required. It was the effective application of the current policies, understandings, processes, procedures that were in place. So that's where I found the question compelling about what was the previous. The previous should have been an understanding that you're an employee of an employer, and anything that was on the job site, in the workplace, belongs to, quote, the employer, not to you. So I'm glad you said it wasn't for FBO, it wasn't for personal benefit, it was for the benefit of the organization. I'll take that for what it is. I have a different observation, maybe a broader observation. I don't want to get into too much more detail about the individuals. It's a causation. I don't see that as really the question. The question is, there's been a significant number of questions around joint services as of late. Personnel retention, in other words, turnover, issues with personnel, issues with policies, issues with equipment. A lot of things happening that seems to keep joint services in the spotlight in the last, I've been here 6 months. That seems to raise a question mark. Is there a deeper underlying something we haven't scratched at within joint services that we need to address? And I'll go back to the WCA conversation. There is a consulting firm, and we forward the information about them to senior leadership on the board and others. Do we need to have an outside something come in and help us to evaluate, streamline, bring more effective procedures into place? They work closely with Racine County next door, and we continually lose people to Racine, I've heard. So is there something that we have to do differently than what we're currently doing? Something more?
I mean, to your point, I think there's a lot of issues that have come up recently here that we've been working on that previous years had not come up. Again, some of this that we're dealing with here, this was all things that had happened multiple years ago. But potentially, yes, I think that may be a very good idea. We're continuing to deal with the personnel issues with retention, and especially in dispatch, it's always been an issue, and we're continuing to work on that. As far as the equipment goes, I think on the equipment side of things, I think we're okay. I mean, much of the issues that we dealt with the equipment side of things were outside of joint services control, dealing with AT&T with some of the phone system and things like that. But to your point about having some equipment and assist with it, maybe.
So you're hoping to having some assistance in some form to dig deeper and try to...
The procedural procedures. You know, I think this has highlighted that we do have some gaps there. Where some procedures need. It's something we're starting to look at and trying to work on, definitely would be open for that.
The title joint services, I'll give my history a little bit. We joined two global organizations together. Joint services is two organizations collaborating together for a common end. We supposedly had a common end. We weren't doing very well with it, but so I appreciate the openness to accept some assistance and support, and hopefully we'll have opportunity to discuss that further and explore what we might need to do, or what are the opportunities lie, better way to say it, is where the opportunities lie that we can improve or understand where we can do things differently. So I appreciate the comment.
Supervisor, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Corp Counsel, as you know, we're updating our ethics policy. And I'd like to look at what happened in joint services as a case study. One of the things we want to do is update the fraud section. And looking at what happened with joint services, I'd like to learn from what happened in two ways. One is transparency. Another one is administrative leave, you know, bringing someone back if a fraud is committed. And a third piece is, if some employee does have the courage to bring something forth, I'd like to look at a way of protections for that employee. So as we're learning from, and I know every time these frauds happen, when I was CFO, they're very demoralizing. They're very sad to do all this work, try to prevent it, and then these things happen. Our job is to put policy in place, and I think we can take some lessons learned from joint services. They're an independent agency, so we don't set policy. They have a different board that sets their policy. But I would like to learn from that and use it in our policies. Also, I'd like to echo Supervisor Basho's idea, and if we need to do something, let's do it. I mean, if we need to go, the county has put programs in place to help their employees to do do a lot of good things to have a good workforce. And if we need, if we haven't done that at Joint Services, let's do that. And then maybe that'll help with some of these issues that have been occurring. And I yield.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. You said that you did have a company that put a bin on your property. You guys filled the bin, you guys got $600, that's correct? Roughly.
Don't hold me to the dollar amount, it was somewhere roughly around
okay,
there.
Okay, so we'll just use $600. How long did it take you to fill that?
They filled that within a couple of days because the stuff, the what went in there was stacked up inside the facility.
So how long had that accumulation taken? Had it not all been stacked up? It took years?
Years.
Okay. I don't buy that there was no monetary gain to these folks. I don't buy it. I don't buy that they took this stuff, went through the hassle of scrapping it to buy a plasma cutter and hot dogs for every Friday's grill out. What I think happened, being on the outside, knowing the limited information that I know, is they took this money, they put it in their pocket, they did who knows with, I mean, maybe they bought the plasma cutter with it. I believe you with that. Maybe they bought lunch for the guys now and again. But for 15 years, did they have lunch every Friday? Did they buy, how many plasma cutters does Joint Services have? Were they buying tools that are their tools that should they decide to leave Joint Services, they now go with them to whatever dealership or service they go to next? That's a concern, and we don't know. We don't know. You don't know. What do you need to know how much was taken? When will you know? Will you ever know? And then why all of a sudden 2 years ago did it stop? Did you find that out in your investigation? I mean, did you guys have 2 years worth of scrap metal stacked up?
They had several years of scrap metal stacked up. I don't know that, I just don't have a way to know how much that added up to over those years.
And again, it goes back to the perception and the concern. We don't know how much gain was taken by these two individuals. Even if they spent every dime on Joint Services, we don't know. So that leads to other questions. It leads to people like myself saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe they spent every dime they got. Who would? And it just kind of leads to the spider web of what kind of mismanagement does Joint Services have right now of even if it stopped and it sat for 2 years, why is Joint Services allowing 2 years worth of garbage to stack up?
Much of what was being stacked up there was that went into that large bin was things that were waiting on the city and the county to clear to be disposed of.
It took city and county 2 years?
Well, sometimes it takes longer than that.
Okay. Then that's an issue we need to work on if it's taking 2 years to dispose of these things.
They work through the police and the sheriff's department to dispose of, to determine what can be disposed of and when it can be disposed of and how it can be disposed of. But again, that's why I'm trying to put some things in place to address those so that we don't have this issue where things stack up.
I think regardless of whatever you put in place, the issue that you have from now until these two employees retire, leave, whatever it is that these two employees are employed by Joint Services. And that might be an employment law issue, but I just don't foresee how any employer can move past that, especially a public sector employer. Or quasi-governmental public sector employer like the organization that you run, because these are folks that are being paid by tax dollars that are taking money that should have gone back to the taxpayers in forms of rebates or cash back to buy Joint Services tools or equipment or what have you, which you say happened in some instances. But I think that forever now there's a cloud over Joint Services that, like some of my colleagues have stated, seems to be getting darker and darker, whether it's we have issues with dispatchers, we have issues with other disciplinary things, we have issues with towers going out. I get some of that's outside of your control. Some of those are acts of God, but a lot of them aren't. And I get that you're new to the position, but like I said, that cloud's over Joint Services, and I don't see anytime soon that cloud getting removed, at least not the way things are being run now. I respectfully disagree with Supervisor Thomas that, well, there's no policy in place, it must be okay. You know, that's like if we had an old style, and I'll use it, many of you know, kind of my background, at the farm, there's a gas tank, and that gas tank is locked up. But let's pretend there wasn't a gas tank that was locked. It's an old gravity-fed gas tank. And you could pull your car right up to it. We use tractors in this instance. You fill your car, and gravity just flows the gas. There's no pump. There's nothing. Old style. But there's a lock on it. There not being a lock on that, does that mean it's free gas? No. And nobody would kid themselves and tell themselves that. Because we don't know what the scrap metal's sitting up, and we're waiting on the city or the county to tell us what to do with it. That means it's okay to take it. And even if they were taking it and using it to give themselves lunch every Friday, that's still not okay, because it was not theirs to take. But we sent these two back to work, and I represent the 8th District. I think I speak for the 8th District, but at the crux, I only speak for me. But I think I have the same feelings that literally thousands of Kenoshans feel, Kenosha County citizens, is that these two folks got away with it. I agree with Supervisor Rose. It sounds like it was a statute of limitations problem, where unfortunately we can't charge them because it's been too long. And that doesn't mean they're innocent. And I think you've got a real problem at your hands, on your hands over there at Joint Services, with this, with everything else. And it continues to get worse, and it's disheartening. And I voted for you to put you in this position. I just hope I didn't vote in a way that I'm going to regret in the near future, because right now the cloud's getting darker. And I told it rained for 2 days the last 2 days, and we all know that. Everybody who I ran into yesterday said, oh, how you doing? How's your day going? I said, horrible. I hate the rain. I can't stand it. You guys have rain. You have clouds. The sun's not coming out. You got to do something to bring the sun out. That's all.
Any other supervisors? Supervisor Stoker.
Do you know how much the plasma cutter costs?
I want to say $1,100.
Yes, but that would give you an indication.
Like I said,
some of the income that they were making. That's
thank you. Any other supervisors?
It's ridiculous.
Okay, thank you for your report. Okay, we're getting to identification of issues for future discussion. Anything that you guys want to bring up on the next meeting that you're thinking of, or you want to think about it, let me know and we'll put it on for the next meeting?
Yes.
What's your pleasure?
We'll think about it.
Think about it?
I'll second that.
Okay, I don't think
that was a motion.
Should we wait until we think about something, or no?
We'll be doing
okay.
A lot,
discussion of scheduling for January meeting. I believe our next meeting for January is supposed to be January 26th. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, so.
It works great for the rest of us.
Would everybody willing to change the date? Or I guess you guys can have the meeting, but I won't be there.
Do we have an agenda?
Well, I want to have a meeting, really. But if we can have it on a different date, I'm going to be gone. I'm leaving on the 24th. I did not have a choice. I tried to leave on the 27th. I could not do it. So I'm leaving at the 24th, and I'm going to be gone for a week.
How about the 19th?
I'm sorry?
How about the 19th?
The 19th?
Or the 23rd?
Pretty much up to the 23rd, I can do it.
What day of the week is the 19th?
The 19th is Thursday. The Thursday before, and the 23rd is the Monday before.
23rd is a Monday.
So that's the 19th would be the 3rd?
The 3rd Thursday, yes.
I would prefer no, but that's
what oh, is that your...
I'm that the commission meets on the 3rd Thursday.
Who has anything on Monday? Monday the 23rd?
Well, I'm okay with Monday.
I'm okay with Monday the 23rd.
Mondays are fine.
Forgot about
that's
that.
That's fine. Thursday.
Monday the 23rd? I think we have a consensus. Aaron, does that work for you?
My only fourth Monday, oops. So then oh, that usually means...
Public Works.
When's your public works?
Fourth Monday, yep.
Oh, that is the fourth okay. Monday. Wah, wah, wah.
But he's not here to object, so
yeah. But I am.
How about the third Monday, which is the 16th?
It's my village board meeting nights.
Okay.
Oh. What about it? We looks like just the 26th before... is a good day.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, I'm just saying, that's why I said it's up to you guys and what you want to do. What about you guys? What do you
about
think?
The 25th?
He's leaving the 24th.
I'm leaving the 24th. How about if we do the just before the board meeting on whatever day?
The 17th?
Doesn't that yours?
No,
that's legislative.
Legislative. We canceled there's own agenda.
For January?
No, we canceled it.
No, we canceled December.
Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, again, I don't want to speak for the chairman. As of now, we don't have anything on that agenda. I can't say what may or may not come in. So, I mean, I leave that to the chairman of the committee's discretion.
I think he'll have something, because I think I'm going to send something your way. Actually, I think I have something for him.
It's Martin Luther King. But. You still do it.
Public Works.
Well, I mean, is there a reason why we can't meet earlier on any of these days? So there.
We can meet at just
what is your time is here?
No, I'm just saying that most of these other meetings start at 6. I mean, can we meet at 4?
Oh, with this guy?
4:30, 5?
This is the busiest attorney.
Lunch?
Well, lunch, I'm available at lunch, yeah.
I don't know.
I like the 26th. We might not need to have one. You know, we might not need one. But there's no agenda items.
Okay, is there a consensus on something?
I don't think there is consensus.
I don't think there's any consensus, but.
Who doesn't mind missing?
Well, I don't think we should force anybody to miss.
Who doesn't mind?
Well, missing what? Missing a committee meeting or miss? Well, that's what I said. We might not have any agenda items. 26 tentative and there's no agenda items?
The 26th I'm not going to be here. If you guys want to have it on the 26th,
I'm just saying that seems to be the only thing that works for the rest of us.
I mean, come on, we're keeping on going around. That's why we said it. And then somebody said, oh, we cannot be there or whatever. Okay, I just said it. I cannot be on the 26th. I really tried to be here because that's what I wanted.
What about?
I cannot be here. If you guys want to have it on the 26th, so here, I expect that meeting to go on the 26th, and you guys should have.
So how about if we do this? We'll do the 23rd. I'll just split, because okay. They meet right over there.
Monday the 23rd?
Wait, no, the 23rd.
No, the 23rd is that
the
19th,
Thursday. You mean?
The 19th.
The 19th?
The 19th, because that's the only one. I'm the only one that is.
We could meet at 7. Then you don't have to miss.
Who has the Monday conflict?
Me.
You, that's the fourth and, Monday.
Five.
And Mark.
Yeah, that's Public Works.
Oh, that's right. And Mark.
Let's do this. Let's do the Thursday at 5. Does Thursday at 5 work?
Thursday the 19th?
Yeah.
No, at 5 does not work for me.
Oh, well.
7?
7 might be doable.
I can do 7 or 5.
I don't care. I can do it. I can do.
I just don't want Brian to miss the commission's meeting.
Especially when you're having problems with quorums.
What does that commission meet at? 6?
6 o'clock.
They meet at 6, yeah.
And usually their meetings are how long?
I would say the January one might be a touch longer because there should be two new
members.
So they'll be, and they didn't have it today, so they'll be voting for a new chair, vice chair, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let's leave it open. And again,
how about we do the 19th and figure out a time later? How's that sound?
In there, if you guys want to have it, let it on the 26th. You know, like you guys want it, 11th to the 26th, and
he's not listening to us.
No, I'm listening to you guys, but I don't want to go where we come back. And again, I did say it 10 times, okay, that I cannot do it on the 26th, and every time we go back, let's do it on the 26th. I cannot do it. So you guys can do it on the 26th if you want it. If you guys don't want it, I'll schedule two meetings in February.
No, we said we. We said the 19th was good.
Well,
how about the 19th at 7?
Any, what is it? Do I need any?
Gabe, no. Does the 19th work for you? Because it works for everybody else.
Zach, I said it. You're the one that is complaining every time. We got to do it on the 26th. We got to do it on the 26th.
I'm
I did say
it
I can do
it
any time.
Everybody at this
up
table.
To the
does
23rd.
It work for you?
I say up to the 23rd.
So then set it for the
up to the 23rd, 19th. I can do it any day.
So set it for the 19th at 7:30. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Anything else?
Okay.
Fine. Anything else?
We'll adjourn.
Second.
Moved in second. Any discussion? All in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
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 Any? No? We're adjourned.
I was hoping we could talk about the meeting this morning.
I don't think it's really set either, though.
I
just moved it on my calendar.
I'm moving it too.
I put it on the 19th.
I put it on the 19th.
I'll see if it's separate.
You know what? He's angry because he doesn't like what I told him. Josh Nielsen. But what I told Josh Nielsen is accurate.
Yeah.
Drawing services sucks. Josh Nielsen sucks. I shouldn't have voted for him.
No, we didn't.